This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is currently 6:13, Wednesday, July 9th. Dave Cohen, Peyton Malone talking about this earlier. We really are into our regular summertime routine where you could get caught in a rain shower no matter what time of day it is. If the heat builds up and the clouds get there and the pressure builds and it's just got to release somehow, then you get caught in a downpour. And depending on where you are, you know, I know the East Bank yesterday heard a lot of thunder, didn't see a lot of it. The West Bank got a lot of rain. But in Algiers, not Belchase, I didn't get much at all. So be aware of that. Stephen Cates joins us. I beg your pardon, Stephen. I'm sorry. Stephen Cates, Bankrate Senior Financial Analyst. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm okay, sir. You know, I'm reading this story here about Bankrate's Economic Indicator Survey. I got a bunch of questions. Tell me what you found first, and then I'll ask my questions.
Well, I mean, the main thing that we found is that, you know, the economists we surveyed are still showing that, you know, uncertainty about inflation, uncertainty about the economy is very prevalent and very, you know, front of mind for pretty much everybody.
So, you know, I don't know how you even gauge the economy because I'll go to the store sometimes myself, and it seems like it should be a lot more than it is, and it's not. Sometimes it seems like it shouldn't be that much, and it's crazy expensive. Maybe I'm not paying attention to the products that I buy, but I think that in microcosm is how the economy works for a lot of different people, where it's all about what's going on with them, right?
Yes, I think a lot of people still think of the prices that they paid a few years ago. You know, the prices during COVID, pre-COVID. That anchor is hard to shake in our minds, and that difference in the price level is what a lot of people really measure the economy against. And that's tough because, unfortunately, we're not going to be going back to the prices that we had back in 2020. Although the rate of inflation or the rate of change in prices is lower than it was a few years ago, we're just not going to see a fall in prices for pretty much all items.
That, I think, people need to remember because they look at the rate of inflation or the prices in the store. And I always give the example of when I was a kid, you know, a roll of paper towels might have been, I don't know, 39 cents. And now I don't know what a roll of paper towels is. I have people that buy those for me. No, I'm just kidding. I go to the store myself, but I don't pay attention. You know, let me tell you this, Stephen. I hate going to the big box store, and they got, you know, like the rolls of toilet paper, the Scott towels, or the paper towels, or whatever it is, and it says 28 rolls equals 36. I don't want to do math. I just want to buy toilet paper. Does that bother you as well or not?
I'm not sure how you make those equivalencies. You know, 28 each 36.
But you know what I'm saying?
We got these each 48. Yeah, absolutely.
They got these bonus packs. It's like I'm not looking for a word. I don't know. I'm going to do a math word problem here. Like a train leaves Chicago. I don't want to do all of that. I'm just looking for toilet paper. But enough of that. Let's talk about so a roll of paper towels, 39 cents growing up. Then it goes up to you know, a dollar, and then it's up to $2 or $3, whatever it is. And I always give the example that our kids and our grandkids are going to be paying like $12 for a roll of paper towels. Is that accurate?
I don't know when they are, but at some point, yes. I mean, we're going to see that prices over time are going to rise. That's just the natural order of things. And there's always a base level of inflation. Right now, you know, we're seeing that it's above the Federal Reserve's target of 2%. And we're expecting that in this upcoming Consumer Price Index report, which will come out next week, that we're going to see it rise year over year. That's the expectation. And a lot of that is due to tariffs. Some of that from the tariffs, the input costs rising, importing goods. Another piece of that, a small piece, is the fact that immigration has slowed. As we get a flood of immigration into the country, which many people are unhappy about for the last few years, that provides cheap labor, and that does put a lid on prices. Removing that can't allow prices to rise up.
So let's talk about the jobs report, because I might have gotten lost in the holiday weekend. What did that show?
Well, that was actually surprisingly good. You know, I think that there are some sour spots in there. So, you know, no mistake about it. This was not, you know, unequivocally good, but it was better than expected. And when you look at a report like this, expectations are everything. So one of the things that was most surprising about that is that we had far above in total the amount of jobs that we thought we would, far more than we thought we would. But on a private payroll, so that's private companies, those were much lower than we expected. And that's not good.
So what is considered full employment?
Well, you know, right now,
because it's never going to be 100%, right? It's never going to be.
It's never going to be 100%. We're never going to have a situation where every single person in the entire country has a job or has the exact job that they want. There's always some kind of unemployment. There's always some amount of people who are looking for work or out of work. That is normal and natural. And we are right now below the long-term average for unemployment, which is close to about, you know, 5.5%. We're at currently 4.1%. So we're well below that long-term average, but we're higher than we were a couple of years ago. And that does make people uncomfortable, the fact that unemployment has been rising.
And what's the reason for that, Stephen?
Well, you know, as the economy cools and we are seeing hiring get very slow, that is primarily one of the biggest reasons that we're seeing some people's jobless claims rise. So although, you know, layoffs have not been any faster than they have been in the last few years, and are actually happening at a slower rate than prior to the pandemic, hiring is very slow. And that is one of the reasons that we're seeing jobless claims rise. So you can think about it like a bathtub. We've got a stopper in the bottom of the bathtub. That is the slow rate of hiring. The water just can't escape. We haven't been laying people off any faster than we have in the past. So water from the tap is coming in at the same rate it always was. There's no big panic in terms of huge layoffs or, you know, huge joblessness. But hiring is slow, and so the water just cannot escape the tub, and that's why we're seeing, you know, sort of the water level rise in terms of the amount of jobless claims and the amount of higher unemployment.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk about tariffs and what role that plays. The Treasury Secretary saying yesterday the tariffs have generated $100 billion, but I'm still trying to figure out where the tariffs came from or who's paying for them. I don't know if anybody knows if tariffs are good or if tariffs are bad, if they're on, if they're off. I'm trying to understand all of this. And also, I see a story here from Bankrate about stagflation. And having lived through stagflation, I don't even want to hear that word again. For people who don't understand what it is, Stephen will tell us when we come back. Stephen Gates, Bankrate financial analyst, interest rates, tariff uncertainty. Have some economists a little worried about the job market, but then again, Who really knows? 621 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Stephen Cates, Bankrate financial analyst, talking about interest rates and tariff uncertainty. And I'm still trying to figure out what effect tariffs have on inflation, unless it goes to who passes it along to whom, because, Stephen, the Treasury Secretary yesterday, I saw him in a meeting saying that tariffs have generated $100 billion, which is good if you're trying to raise money for the U.S. Treasury, but if Americans are paying it, then it's just a tax, right?
That's correct. So, you know, it is payment that's going to the government. And the question that the administration is really trying to have people ask is ultimately who is paying that? And, you know, right now it appears to be a mixture of suppliers that are sending the goods to the U.S. and consumers here at home, the end consumer, paying that in the form of higher prices. Now, one of the things that we've noticed is that, you know, the flood of imports to front run the tariffs that happened in Q1 ahead of the announcement of the actual tariffs have put us in a position where businesses have been able to maintain prices longer than people expected, longer than I certainly expected, but that cannot last forever.
So the tariff foot has yet to fall yet, is what you're saying?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
So, you know, prices have not risen quickly, and it's taken time for some of this to sort of trickle through the economy. But if you think about the fact that, you know, a retailer like Walmart, they have the capacity to hold a lot of imports in warehouses and dole those out to consumers as needed. And because they pulled in so much ahead of time, they were able to make that last. But that isn't necessarily going to last forever. Now, what we are seeing, that tariffs are probably going to last a while longer. And you certainly saw with some of the letters that went out this week that tariffs for many countries are going to persist at a rate that's far above where we were in January. And that's really the only number that matters. We're going to have tariffs on goods from foreign countries higher than they were in January. And that is going to eventually trickle into the economy in the form of higher consumer prices over the next few months.
So I see a note here in the Bankrate story that economists said that stagflation is still a concern. For people that don't know, explain what stagflation is, please.
So stagflation is essentially two unfortunate things for the economy. It's slowing growth and it's higher inflation. So the stagnation of slowing growth and the inflation of rising prices. That's where you get the stagflation. And putting those together, it's not a great time.
No.
As you mentioned before the commercial, if you lived through that in the 70s and 80s, it was a very bad time. I don't think we're going to have a situation like that again. There's a very, you know, the economy is in a very different place than it was back in the 70s and 80s. But on a technical sense, if we have slowing GDP growth and rising prices, that is technically stagflation, even if it isn't going to come to the measure of what we had in the 70s and 80s.
So generally speaking, though, when it comes to managing your own finances, you can't really base what you do on the economy. There are some sound fundamentals that you should follow, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's not a bad idea to pay attention to what's going on in the economy because, you know, all of us are participating in that. You know, each of us are a part within the U.S. economy. But you have to think on a smaller scale. What do you need? What is going on in your life? You know, and focusing on the idea that if you think that you're worried about your career, then save some money. Put it away in a high-yield savings account or a bank account so you have a cushion of cash. That's one of the best things that you can do at this point.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and the information. Stephen Cates, Bankrate Senior Analyst. When we come back, we're going to talk to a professor of civil engineering at Penn State University that thinks there's a way to save lives, reduce traffic jams, and make commutes faster. And it has a lot to do with Tulane Avenue and what we're doing already. I'll explain later. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Typical summertime day, hot, humid, chance for a shower here or there. I remember going to UNO and walking and taking summer classes, and you better have an umbrella on you because you could wind up soaking wet going from one class to the other, and then after that it's beautifully sunshiny, and it's like, how did I get all wet? I don't know. Got caught in a summer thunderstorm. That's how. I don't know what it's like at Penn State, but we can find out now as we're joined by Vikash Gaya, professor of civil engineering at Penn State University. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Let's talk about your study, because there is a street. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I have, a long time ago.
There's a street here, Tulane Avenue, and I was kidding around saying that you've found a way that you have a suggestion about ways to save lives, curb traffic jams to make commutes faster and easier, and it involves what we do at Tulane Avenue, and people already guessed. What is the answer to that, Professor?
Get rid of left turns at the intersections.
So tell me what the numbers show as far as statistics show about left turns and why they're so dangerous.
So if you look at crashes at intersections, 60%, a little bit more than 60% involve a left turn. And the reason is when you're making a left turn, you have to cross oncoming traffic. And that is a very, very dangerous maneuver.
Mm-hmm. So dangerous why?
Well, if you're serving that left turn in a permitted fashion, so we're letting the driver of the left-turning vehicle decide when to turn, mm-hmm. they have to judge that oncoming vehicle, find out when there's an appropriate gap in order to make that turn. And if they misjudge that gap, they're either hitting that oncoming vehicle or being hit by that incoming vehicle. And that's going to happen at like a 90-degree angle, and that those angle crashes are the most severe in terms of injury outcomes.
So how do you avoid left turns?
Yeah, so in downtown areas, when you have sort of like a grid-type network, it doesn't have to be exactly a grid, but something sort of like a grid, if you don't make a left turn, if you don't allow left turns, then the vehicles can reroute themselves so they don't have to make a left. And then you can think about the absolute worst case. They get to the intersection where they need to make that left. They go through it, and they make three rights. We call that circling the block. Mm-hmm. And that's going to cause them to travel a little bit extra distance, right? You have to go through the intersection, circle that block, four additional intersections you have to go through. And the counterintuitive thing is, even doing that, by getting rid of the left...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Left turns, you're simplifying those intersections so much that even though you're traveling through more intersections, you have to wait less time at each of the intersections. You'll end up getting to where you need to go faster.
Let's talk about roundabouts, because on my way home, I go through a roundabout every day, and I'm surprised more people aren't killed because people go zooming around and they don't pay attention to the yield signs. What would the statistics show about roundabouts and left turns and so forth?
Yeah, so roundabouts are safer than having the left turns at a traditional intersection, because you're getting rid of that sort of crossing maneuver where vehicles are turning in front of oncoming traffic. Now, it does require that people sort of behave at the roundabouts, yield at the roundabouts, don't speed. And so they're a good solution in some cases. They're much safer than traditional intersections, the statistics show. But again, it requires that people sort of know what to do and act appropriately.
So at what point do you consider, like, where they got the arrows, where you can turn with the arrow? Is that different?
Yeah, so we call that a protected left turn, and that's stopping the oncoming traffic so that we give some time, dedicated time, for the left-turning vehicles. The problem with that is it's not very efficient. So what I mean by that is when you do that, you're stopping other vehicles from moving just to serve a handful of left-turning vehicles. Mm-hmm. And so on that side, it's, you know, it's wasted time at the intersection. But what's sort of like a hidden loss is that every single time you have a new phase, so that left turn arrow, and then you're going to just sort of the traditional green for the through vehicles, there's actually a period of time, we call it the all red time, where all of the signals at the intersection are red. That time is actually done to clear the intersection and just sort of get vehicles out of the way before we let another movement go. It's only about 2 to 3 seconds, but it happens every single time you change a movement at the intersection. And again, it's only 2 to 3 seconds, but it happens so frequently, it adds up, and it's actually a time where the intersection is not serving anyone. So while those protected lefts, the green arrow, it is much safer, it actually is a lot less efficient. And so getting rid of left turns can actually just be a win-win for both safety and to make traffic smoother.
So do I remember New York properly? Does one street run one way and the other street runs the other way? Because it would seem like if it's only one-way traffic on each street, then you could make a left turn safely, right?
Yeah, so on one-way streets, a left turn is the equivalent to like a right turn, right? It's not conflicting. It's not moving in front of oncoming traffic. And we've actually compared the no left turns to one-way streets. The no left turns is actually much more efficient because on one-way streets, you have to travel a lot longer distances, whereas on two-way streets with no left turns, you have to travel on average about one extra block length for each trip. On one-way streets, you have to travel at least two extra block lengths, if not more. So, you know, the one-way streets are safer, about the same safety as the two-way streets with no left turns, but your trips are just going to take longer.
Right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Vikash Gaya, a professor of civil engineering at Penn State University, about no left turns. And I want to talk to you about studying traffic and how you go about this and some of the other things you've found, because I know until you get people to put the phone down, I don't think it really matters. But we'll talk more when we come back. 651, 9 till 7, Traffic Now, WWL. 655, 5 till 7, Vikash Gaya as our guest, professor of civil engineering at Penn State University. He says that if you would do away with left turns, you would save lives, reduce traffic jams, and make commutes faster. People are texting in about Tulane Avenue, as I said. We've mentioned that before about not making a left turn. But, Professor, when it comes to medians, we call them neutral grounds here, a lot of the problems is that it's not wide enough for a car, and people turn left, and that can be especially dangerous, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely, because then it blocks, you know, the visibility at the intersection, and it creates just a more unsafe environment.
So have you run numbers on this, on how much it would cost to do away with left turns, or how much maybe people would save? Because we have a big concern about insurance prices here in Louisiana.
Sure. So, I mean, in terms of cost to the city, for example, it's relatively inexpensive, right? We're looking at just putting up some signs that say no left turns. It's some signal timing changes, which is relatively inexpensive compared to, you know, other solutions like roundabouts or installing or changing intersection designs, which can be very, very costly, requires, you know, new pavement, additional infrastructure. Those are extremely costly. And then to implement that on a large scale is going to be quite a lot. Restricting left turns is very simple, just a few signs. And actually, you know, we're not looking to restrict left turns all the time, just during the busiest periods of the day, peak periods.
So do some companies tell their vehicles or tell their drivers not to make left turns?
Yeah, so this has been known for a while, but like UPS, for example, FedEx, they've routed their vehicles to avoid left turns. And the reason that they do that is the vehicles have to stop fewer times, and that saves them a lot of time and actually a lot of fuel. They save like millions of dollars in fuel costs just by routing their vehicles so they don't make left turns sitting there waiting to look for a gap to turn left. They'll rather travel longer distances making right-hand turns where they can keep moving. That that saves them fuel by the vehicles not having to stop. And so if we were to do this at a citywide scale, not only would it be safer, not only would it be more efficient, you get to where you need to go quicker, but we'd also save fuel on the order of like 20 to 25%.
Do you know if there are any apps that you can download that will let you avoid left turns?
I don't know that. I mean, you know, this is something that can be implemented into like a routing app, like a Google Maps or an Apple Maps. I will say on a personal level, if, you know, if I were to do this on my own just by routing to avoid left turns, I might see a little bit of gains. But the real gain will come if we change the signal timing to avoid those left turn arrows. If we get rid of those, then everyone is going to benefit.
So tell me about that. Change the signal timing to get rid of the arrows?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, like every time you have that left turn arrow, you're stopping all of the vehicles at the intersection. There's a lot of dead time, wasted time, where no vehicles can move at the intersection. Mm-hmm. And so getting rid of that, simplifying the signal timing at an intersection, then everyone will have to spend less time delayed at an intersection. There's less of a chance that you have to stop at each intersection. So then you're going to spend less time not moving. You'll stop fewer times, and there's benefits for everyone.
Do you study traffic for your living? Is that what you do as a civil engineer, or this is just part of it?
No, that's what I do. I study transportation safety, so traffic safety, and I study traffic operations, which is the movement of vehicles. And this just happens to combine both of them.
So if I were to give you three things that you would change in terms of vehicles or driving or traffic or whatever to make the whole thing safer, what would it be? What would they be?
Three things. Well, one, again, I would get rid of left turns. Two, I would mandate that you couldn't be on a phone, right? You couldn't touch a phone while driving. I think that's distracted driving is a huge issue with regards to safety. And three, and this is kind of more broader, but I would try to promote alternative modes, walking, bicycling when possible, so we get fewer vehicles on the streets and we make those modes more visible because they're at a disadvantage when a vehicle hits a pedestrian, a vehicle hits a bicyclist. You know, there's a clear loser and a clear winner there. And so the more biking, more walking we have, the more visible those modes are, I think the safer everyone will be.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. Vikash Gaya, he studies this at Civil Engineering at Penn State. We'll take a break, come back, talk about Louisiana and the big, beautiful bill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
Oh,
host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.